WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Hardy.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time, right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my hands.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Man, I knew you'd come.
And this is going to be simply glorious!
You ought to keep it concealed. Just like I was a weapon, I didn't come for a fight, but I will fight till the end. And this one might be a battle, might not turn out okay. You know you look.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And a huge shout out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RecRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. And well, if you get a second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com, too. Now that I have all the plugs out of the way, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I realize you have way less plugs than me.
And I still screw them up.
At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, at Rack Radio Show on Twitter, at Lindsay Ward on the Twitters, interact with us live there. You can come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Gerwick.net. You can interact with us throughout the show. We'll read your comments if they pertain to things we're talking about. Usually people try to correct us on news, which is helpful, because there's things we miss because we can't watch everything. Usually Ashley on Twitter usually helps us out with that. So thank you in advance if you have anything to add, because we appreciate it, because there are things we miss.
Yes, and we like it when you talk to us, so please interact with us. We have a chat room, we have Twitters, we have Facebook, we have Tumblrs. If you know what they are, hit us up, talk to us. We'll give you a shout out on air. Anyway, we have a lot to talk about tonight. We have news. We have the SmackDown Throwdown, NXT Rundown, and, well, we're talking Extreme Rules, because, yes, that's coming up this Sunday on the WWE Network, and we've got some fun stuffs going on there. So I say we don't waste any time. We just jump right into the news brought to you by Gerwick.net. What do you think?
Sounds like a plan. Where are we leading off with?
Well, since you gave me crap for it, quick shout-out to James Storm. It is the Cowboy's birthday, so we wish him a very, very happy birthday on this June 1st. And tying into Impact Wrestling, it was announced that they will be having their first house show in, what, like 2 years?
Impact Live is back on the road. Impact Wrestling will hold its first live house show in 2 years on August the 5th at 6 p.m. Eastern in Staten Island, New York. Tickets go on sale to the general public on June 9th, with an online pre-sale set for June June 7th. Tickets range anywhere. They're all less than $100. I believe the highest price ticket was $70. Thing was, when I looked at it just really quick about a few minutes ago. So yes, Impact's back on the road to doing sort of what GFW did, the baseball tour things, where they go to the baseball stadiums and do a show. So that's what Impact's doing for the first show in 2 years that's not at the Impact Zone or in India. Big shout out to them, because they just filmed 4 weeks of TV in 2 days over in India. Congrats to them.
Heard it was first.
A first. It's North American company ever to film a wrestling product over there. So big shout out to them, which is cool that they were able to go over there and do it. Heard the crowds were very loud and excited and happy to be there for the show. So hopefully those shows turn out good. They start airing on television next Thursday.
Hey, I can't wait to see it. I'm very, very curious to see what they did. So, and this is good news for TNA in terms of, or I should say, Impact Wrestling. It's a force of habit. I'm going to have to get used to calling them Impact. But I'm curious to see what these house shows hold for them, how many more they do, because like we said, it's been a long time since they've been on the road. That was cut when things got tough for Impact Wrestling before Anthem bought them out. So this will be a good experience. I will say the pricing has me a little concerned, but they'll make up for it in the fact that they're doing it at a baseball stadium, so they don't have to worry about certain aspects of the production, which will be good.
Yeah, the lighting, because you use just natural lighting, so you don't need an actual lighting ring. The big thing with the higher price tickets, you get a meet and greet. So that's an added bonus for the first couple higher price tickets. So that's a bonus. The general admission is still a little high. I figured it'd be a little cheaper, but it is what it is. Go get the tickets. Pre-sale starts on June 7th. The event, again, August 5th, 6 p.m. Eastern in Staten Island, New York.
Hey, and staying on India for a second, it was announced that ROH has acquired a TV deal in India, so they will start airing there here very, very soon as well.
D-Sport, a new TV channel in India, has acquired broadcasting rights to Ring of Honor, making the first TV deal they've had in that country. So congrats to Ring of Honor. India's a big market. Everybody's going after it.
I mean, as we've seen, India's the place to be, so look for some fun things happening there very, very soon, I imagine. So, let's do some not-so-fun things. Let's do the Blame Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Because it's not a Thursday night without a Blame Brent. And, well, this time, he got Nunzio.
# Blame Brent.
He's out with a broken ankle, which I have to ask, he's still wrestling.
Yeah, little Guido Nunzio is still wrestling, yes.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Right.
Tracy Smothers is still wrestling.
Dude, Tracy Smothers needs to stop. Bless his heart.
I know, but still. Nunzio's younger than him.
I know, but it's like you just hear about these guys and you're like, wait, he's still wrestling?
Yeah, he's still wrestling. It's a thing.
It's a thing. Anyway.
Do we want to talk about the NXT injury that it was the main part of the first segment on NXT? Here with an injury roundup, or should we blame Brennett later?
Let's go ahead and blame Brennett.
Tommaso Ciampa has a what?
A torn ACL.
# blame Brent.
And he's going to be out like 6 to 8 months. And we'll get more into Tommaso and his little speech when we talk about NXT, but yeah, so way to go, Brent. I'm not taking the credit for the blame Lindsay for the breakup between Tommaso and Johnny. Because it's actually Brent's fault.
So, again, he's doing it to himself. DIY. His own fantasy team. He's just doing it to himself.
Thanks, Brent. Thanks for the assist. We all appreciate it.
Thank you for your own sabotage.
Ding! Moving on and kind of staying on NXT, talking about them real quick. It was announced that they are headed to the Northwest in July. They will be hitting Vancouver, Seattle, and Portland July 13th through the 15th, and the pre-sale begins tomorrow.
So there you go. Get your ticket. I think the pre-sale sale was tonight. Tickets go on sale tomorrow.
Okay. Well, if you didn't get your tickets, good luck. Because NXT tickets are hard to get, and it's definitely worth going. So if they're coming to your town, try to get tickets. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
So they're going Wednesday, July 12th in British Columbia, 13th in Seattle, and 14th in Portland, Oregon. Or, yeah, 15th in... No, I have it wrong. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There we go. The Saturday would be in Portland, Oregon. My bad. So, anyway. So, Matt, you should go to Portland, Oregon, and go see the stars of Next.
Really? Really? You went there with that? Really? Oh, my God. can't take... You're the reason we can't have nice things. You're so the reason we can't have nice things.
I'm the reason?
You're totally the reason.
I thought I'm the one who gets the nice things.
You're also the reason we can't have them.
Anyway, continue.
And last but not least, on our new spiel, Austin Aries announced that he has a brand new book coming out. That's right, Food Fight, My Plant-Powered Journey is expected to hit bookshelves, I believe, next week.
Ships June 9th, pre-sales now available at AustinAriesBook.com. But we have one other item.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, you didn't want to talk about it.
Well, there are a lot of things I don't want to talk about. You have to be way more specific.
WWE superstar John Cena introduces new Tap Out men's body sprays.
Really?
The six performance body sprays come in a diverse range of scents, from refreshing and crisp to spicy and musk, including Defy, Victory, Fuel, Focus, Core, and Control. Easy to use and high quality. They're suitable for any occasion for men of all ages.
Because, you know, Axe wasn't enough. Now we have competition for Axe.
We have Tap Out Body Sprays featuring John Cena.
Oh, Lord, I'm scared.
I think the world should be scared.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
They really should be scared.
Yep. So anyway, that does it for the news. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are talking all things Extreme Rules. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will be right back.
So we can move a little faster. I'll make it real. I'm not a glorious disaster. What part of living says you gotta die?
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
What is the greatest television theme song of all time? CB Radio has decided. It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Addams Family, their house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brett's reference over at GERFIC.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Sorry, music. And WellFightBooth.com as well. Gotta check them out. So we are here. We are back. We are live. And we are talking about Extreme Rules, which airs this Sunday on the WWE Network and pay-per-view providers everywhere, if that's how you roll. This should be a fun pay-per-view.
All right, so go to Facebook.com/group/WellTalkRadio tomorrow and you can post your picks. It should be a fun pay-per-view. It really should be a fun pay-per-view. You look at this card, and this card itself is really focused in on one match as a whole. The show is built around one match. Would have been built around more, but an injury sort of changed all the plans. So this, when you look at this card, there's only six matches. And you go, really? Only six matches? It's like, there's no pre-show as of yet. And there's one big main event, so it's like, huh. So the whole show is geared toward one really big match, and we'll get to that one in a bit. So we'll break down everything else first. This one has sort of come together where, from a feud between two women, and now the men have gotten involved. It's Rich Swann and Sasha Banks taking on Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. For starters, the pairing of Sasha and Rich could be something.
It could be something. It's cute. It feels a little, it feels a little just thrown together.
The match itself does feel a little bit thrown together, because Alicia and Sasha have been feuding. They've been trading wins back and forth, as Lindsay's fantasy team can tell you. She's been getting some points for Alicia, then losing them. It's sort of a thing. But after 1 week, here's the thing. Swann and Banks have more chemistry than Dar and Fox ever had. And they've had been working together how many months now?
Well, to be fair, a lot of what made up the chemistry between Dar and Fox was Dar. Where Dar was just being, you know, this sort of, for lack of a better term, asshole in pursuing Alicia Fox. And then he gets her, and it just kind of sort of went to hell from there.
And let's be honest, the only reason Noam Dar is over is because he knows how to say Alicia Fox. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Okay. So, I do like, this is a way to get a second Cruiserweight match and a second women's match on the show.
I would agree with that. It's a good way. It's a clever way. Question. Not gonna lie. Okay. So here's the thing. You've got Dar and Fox together. Mm-hmm. Alicia's just showing up.
Right.
And because Dars really kept to the Cruiserweight show.
And Rich Swann is sort of, I don't think Rich Swann's been on TV on Raw since a long ass time. And the first time was on Monday.
Yeah.
That we've actually seen him.
So it's like, at what point do Dar and Fox run their course if they have no one to feud with?
Very good question. Here's the question. The most important question. What color will the rope be? Are we going to have purple, red, purple? Are we going to have all red? Are we going to have all purple?
My guess is all purple. Because it's technically a intergender cruiserweight match.
So, but there's women involved, so the women should have their own I don't know.
They don't have their own colors. It'll be purple because it's two cruiserweights. This is the second cruiserweight match / women's match on the card.
So that means we're going to get two purple rope changes?
Possibly.
What would be smart is you do them back to back.
I thought one was on the pre-show.
No, I don't think this is the pre-show.
What's the pre-show then?
There's nothing on the pre-show as of today. I don't think they've moved anything to the pre-show? Because, again, there's only six matches. Going to the page on WWE.com.
Yeah, I was going to say, you may want to go check that.
Going to the page right now, just to look. I don't remember seeing anything there. I hate their website because it's, you know, hard to navigate sometimes because they don't put things properly. Like, you know, the card. No, 1, 2, 3, 4, nothing says pre-show.
Okay.
Which means tomorrow they will announce a pre-show match, most likely.
Of course they will, after we've done all the picks and all the sims and everything like that. Of course that's when they're going to announce the pre-show match.
Speaking of sims will be available tomorrow at youtube.com/rockradioshow, spread out throughout the day. Now let's make a pick. Who you got?
Oh, God. Who won last time between these four? It was Swann and Banks, right?
Well, they were 50-50 this week. Dar won on Tuesday, Swann won on Monday.
Okay, then Swann's winning on Sunday.
Because if you look at the Alicia program, Alicia got the one up on Sasha the last time they fought. Or did they? Yeah, she got the one up on yeah, that's how that went. So, yeah, the babyfaces should get this one. And then the heels will get it. I'm going babyface. It's Swann and Banks. Same. Video game says that. 8-Ball says no MDAR and Alicia Fox. Up next, this Cruiserweight Championship is on the line in a submission match. Austin Aries versus Neville. This has been a very long feud.
But entertaining.
It's been a very entertaining feud. We've had this build up since, what, right before Fastlane? When Aries was sort of teasing his comeback?
Yeah, something like that.
And they've been battling ever since. We've gotten very familiar with Austin Aries and his banana.
We have.
He was slapping fans with it the other day as he was walking to the ring.
Which is not nice.
No, like a high five, but using the banana.
Still, just that's weird. Why are you going to high five people with your pocket banana? I mean, honestly, no one knows where that's been.
Anyway, she was saying earlier, I'm the reason we can't have that. Anyway.
Hey, that was subtle.
I know. What happened on Monday, Neville lost for the first time since, like, the summer. To add that, he also tapped out.
Yes, he did. And, well, he kind of had a cartoon exit where they were asking him. They're like, dude, you tapped out. What the heck? And he's like, Neville out. And he just runs away.
And what was interesting on 205 Live is Neville got the rings of Saturn on Aries. They had a confrontation at the end of the show. Aries never tapped.
Hmm.
That could be very key in this match. Very, very key. Neville's won every match leading up to it, except for Monday. He's defended the title twice successfully. Last one was a little shenanigans, but he's still successfully defended against Aries. Do they pull the trigger and put the belt on Aries?
I think they almost kind of have to at this point, because it's like, who do you have built to challenge Neville next? And the answer is you really don't have anybody. He's had the title since... When did he win it?
I believe he won at the Rumble.
I was going to say, he had it before Mania. I know he had it before Mania. He's had it for a while.
He's had it since the Rumble, I believe.
Right around there. And I mean, the King Neville thing, it's run its course. It's done a really good job for him. He's been very entertaining. But it's like...
Here's the thing. Akira Tozawa is the next challenger since he spent 12 weeks feuding with Brian Kendrick. So they've been building up Akira Tozawa as the next guy. You have to watch 205 Live on Tuesday nights to see it. They've been building him up slowly to be the next guy. He doesn't have the same pizzazz in terms of mic skills as Austin Aries does to really have a, you know, the verbal feud. Match-wise, Neville versus Tozawa would probably be really good. But here's the thing. It's hard with these cruiserweight matches because you have to get people to care about people they have no interest in. Like, we care about Neville because guess what? Neville was a star before he joined the Cruiserweight division. Austin Aries has been a star everywhere he's been. So people are invested in these two. People aren't so much high on TJP because they've lost interest. They've lost interest on a lot of these Cruiserweights because when they're put on Raw, they're not showcased the way Cruiserweights are. And that's a big problem in general, where 3-minute matches aren't going to get Cruiserweights over. Because if you remember right after WrestleMania, we were talking, oh my god, look at these, why wasn't this match on the pay-per-view, and this match was on the pay-per-view, because they were great Cruiserweight matches, because they were given 15 minutes on Raw. Since that point, we've seen 3-minute matches.
And also, it's hard to get into anybody when they're very inconsistent about putting them on Raw, and really on 205 Live. It's kind of a crapshoot of who you're going to get at any given time. It's like, I actually really like Noam Dar, but it's like, there for a few weeks, he was gone. He was missing. He wasn't there. You know, I really like Drew Gulak. He fell off the goddamn planet for about 6 months, and now he's back.
Because it's hard to invest time into 205 Live, because that would be the 6th hour of WWE programming in 2 nights. So it's really hard to get invested into it if you're watching everything. And we watch Raw and we watch SmackDown, and the sixth hour is 205 Live. It's just hard to watch every week. We watch NXT, which is our 6th hour, and that's, you know, 6 hours of WWE. That's a lot. It's plenty. 2 back-to-back nights of it. It's really, really long, tiresome. And the crowd doesn't buy into it because on Raw, they're not given the time to care. On 205 Live, it's the 3rd hour. No one cares. So when it comes to these matches, they could have the best match in the world, but people are going to sit on their hands because they don't know these people. And that's right. Going to be the problem going forward, is you don't have enough star power to carry this division. And number two, there's no, whatever the Cruiserweight division is, there's no real definition of its style. Is it high-flying? It's supposed to be. Well, if that's their style, no one else in the company should be the high-flying people. But when you have Seth Rollins and Finn Balor and, like, doing the same things as the Cruiserweights, those are the stars, these are the undercard, and that's the way you are.
Yeah, I mean, I think putting the Cruiserweights on their own was a great idea in the beginning, but now it's, okay, let's mix them in with the regular roster, because you actually do have other guys on the roster that could qualify as a Cruiserweight but aren't in the division.
And it's not even putting them with other people, just to find the style. Make them.
Yeah, I mean, Cruiserweight's a little broad.
Cruiserweights is so 1996. Let's be honest. It's the same style they were doing in 1996, and they were doing it better in 1996.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Because you had guys like Dean Malenko and Rey Mysterio and Juventud Guerrera and the like, and Eddie Guerrero, and they were defining the division in WCW, and they became stars. These guys aren't becoming stars because on Nitro, they had 10 minutes to work with, and they were given multiple chances to work. Every single week, you had at least 2-3 Cruiserweight matches, and the thing that what defined them was their style, because it was different than the main event style in WCW. That's why Cruiserweights work then. Here, they're doing the same goddamn style, and it's all the same. The only difference is purple.
Pretty much, yeah.
This Cruiserweight tangent has been brought to you by Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow Journey to Instagram.com/MBG1211.
I was going to say, do you feel better?
No, because I could go longer on it, but you have 40 minutes to do with Bray Wyatt, so,
That's not set in stone.
All right, 35 now, because I took 5 minutes. Anyway, it's the running joke of the night. Anyway, who you got in this match?
Which match are we picking?
The Cruiserweight match. Aries and Neville.
Oh, right. That match. Right. I was going to say, did we just do one?
I took us on a tangent. I'm sorry.
God. You know what? I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to say Austin Aries. He upsets Neville because he lost to Neville last go round. They've been building him up to win. I say Austin.
I'm saying Neville because if Aries wins, we get one more Aries Neville match, and there's no one for Aries. Actually, there's really no one for Aries to fight as a babyface. Yeah, anyway. Next. The video game went with Aries and the 8-ball went with Neville. Can you tell I have opinions about the Cruiserweight division? Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Like, you can define the styles for everybody.
Okay, alright. Keep going.
No, I'm getting there. Okay.
Let's keep going.
I'm watching.
We're not going back down the rabbit hole.
Watch how I do this. You give your heavyweights a style, you give your cruiserweights styles, you have your UK style, then you have your women's style. These are all the things you can do. You define them as different things. And then you have the women's championship is on the line.
There you go.
I had a point and you weren't letting me go to my point.
Well, you went on like a 10-minute tangent, dude.
I'm allowed to go on 10-minute tangents once every few weeks. Anyway, kendo stick on a pole match. Here's the thing, okay? This match should not be a kendo stick on a pole match. It should be an Extreme Rules match. The build-up has been so-so. Love that Alexa Bliss is able to whack people with a stick. It's fantastic. It's Alexa Bliss versus Bayley. But here's the thing. Putting it on a pole is dumb.
I would agree. It's like, you know, if you're gonna do it, make it a kendo stick match.
Yeah.
Or make it an Extreme Rules match, like you said. And just, you know, it's like, just let them go to town. It's like, the fact that they get a single kendo stick and it's on a pole is, like, a little stupid.
Because here's the question, what it's gonna be is they're gonna wrestle and they're gonna have a really good match and then it's like, oh my god, the kendo stick is up on the pole. I gotta go get it. And you're gonna disrupt the flow of the match. And
yeah,
that's my
just
problem.
A little bit.
And that is my problem. So it's like, and again, 5 feet of fury. Alexa Bliss is tiny. As we saw, like, she's going to struggle to get the kendo stick.
She can climb. They like to do this to her. They like to put her in these kinds of matches where it's like she has difficulty because of her size.
Like the table match. They're so unfair.
That poor thing. She could barely get those tables up, and it's not because they were heavy. It's literally her arms were almost not long enough to pick the table up.
They weren't, because the tables are bigger than her.
It's like, you didn't think this through. She is tiny.
No, pole matches, Matt, are dumb. D-U-M-D. Dumb.
Did you say D-U-M-D?
D-U-M-B. Dumb. D-U-M-B. Dumb.
God, it's National Spelling Bee. And
I lost.
Spell dumb.
I can tangent on things, just keep me focused. Ooh, basketball game. That's a slaughter. Anyway.
So, shouldn't you be watching playoff hockey?
Hockey was last night. Nashville lost.
Isn't it every night, though?
No.
Damn it.
They're like, I think next game is Saturday. That is, okay, here's the thing. You want tangents? I'll give you a tangent.
No.
The scheduling for playoffs is dumb. There's too many days in between games. Just saying.
God. Isn't there a hockey show that you can discuss this on?
I'm not talking about hockey. I'm talking about playoff basketball and hockey. The scheduling is dumb. Too many days off.
Isn't there, like, a sports show you can talk about this on?
No.
Like a man show.
Anyway, Alexa versus Bayley. Who you got?
Let's see. They're hooking Sasha up with Swan for right now, so she's going to be distracted. You've got Nia Jax lurking in the background.
And complaining on Twitter.
Bless her for it. Waiting for a shot at that title. I don't think it goes back on Bayley. I don't think they do it yet.
No need to put it on Bayley. Bayley's better without the belt. Alexa is on fire now. She carried a really bad segment to decent levels. Even though the internet trashed it, Alexa was really good in it, even though she had awful material.
Yep.
She is a star right now. Bayley is a star right now. But Bayley's a perfect underdog right now. So have her, you know, it's a kendo stick on a pole match for a reason. The heel should win this matchup. Though, ever the booking is Bayley wins. That's the booking, because she hasn't got her heat on Alexa at all. So the booking is Bayley should win. My opinion is, though, Alexa should. Because, again, tangent to Jinder for a second. The bad thing to do right now would cut off Jinder's legs. The bad thing to do right now is to cut off Alexa's legs. Because it would kill her.
She's so short.
She's so short. Two, it would kill her momentum. She's great as the champion. Let her build her confidence as champion. We've seen Bayley and Nia. You could do Alexa and Mickey. Hell, you could do Nia and Alexa. Just let it be. Let her stay as champion. You don't need to flip-flop it back to Bayley just now.
What makes Bayley such a great character to watch on TV is when she has a really, really, really strong heel to work against. Because it's like the Bayley character is everything that is good, everything that is innocent. She's this sweet, nice, kind person that everybody takes advantage of. Everybody beats up, especially the heel, the strong heel. What made Bayley and Sasha so good, and Bayley and Charlotte and Sasha and all the Four Horsewomen matches so incredibly good, was there was defined roles for all of them. Where it's like you had Charlotte or Sasha in that heel role, and you had Bayley as the underdog babyface in those roles, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Bayley is good on her own, but she's better when she has that really strong heel to work against.
Exactly.
And it's like, if you take it off Alexa, then you go to the rematch at whatever the next pay-per-view is after this one for them.
You should know what it is.
I don't know. I can't keep track of them.
It's the greatest pay-per-view name in the history of pay-per-view names.
Oh, right. Great Balls of Fire. Right. That one I can't keep track of. I just forgot when it was. Because I thought Great Balls of Fire was this month. And I was like, no, it's Extreme Rules. Oh, okay. But anyway, tangent. train of thought. I don't picture the belt going back on Bayley. They don't need to put the belt back on Bayley right now. I mean, it's like, Bayley was a wonderful champion, but it's like, okay, so you go to Great Balls of Fire with Bayley, Alexa, 2, 3, somewhere in there, and it's like, you could put it back on, it's like, and then Bayley defends her title then? Or do you somehow have shenanigans in this match, and Bayley gets another rematch, and they go to Great Balls of Fire, where Bayley gets the win there?
I think they need to back off Bayley for a second, and let her continue, let her build back up that rise.
Well, it depends on when you're doing Bayley Sasha. Are you doing it at SummerSlam? Are you doing it at Survivor Series? Are you doing it at Rumble? Or are you doing it at Mania?
You can wait on that. Like, there's no rush on that. Ashley on Twitter, I feel like Bayley is better at chasing the title. Exactly. She is better at chasing the title because, again, she's a true underdog. And once you get knocked down, you can get knocked down so much. But we already seen her rise. Like, let her go fall back down that ladder and let her climb that ladder. And the payoff, when they do it right, will be brilliant.
Yeah, it will be. Where you can build to either Bayley winning the title at Mania, you can build to, you know, Sasha winning the title at Mania, you know, whatever. You can build that story with Bayley as time goes on.
Bayley doesn't need the belt right now to get over. Alexa needs the belt to get over right now.
Yeah, and plus it's like Alexa's such a good champion because she's just that perfect blend of everything that makes a good champion. So it's like, yeah, I would keep it on her just for the time being. There's no need to change it. So Alexa.
The 8-ball in the video game and myself agree. We're going with Alexa. The Raw tag team titles are on the line when the Hardys defend against Cesaro and Sheamus.
I don't see any reason to change them.
Inside a steel cage. There are, and here's the thing. The steel cage is the perfect match for the babyfaces to win and the heels to still be over. Because the babyface can escape.
I hate that. I hate that so much.
I know you do, but here's...
You want to talk about tangents? I could go off about steel cage matches.
I know you could. But that's what the booking for this works. Because the babyface can escape the beating. And the heels still look strong. That's why this match is booked perfectly to keep the belts on the Hardys. And still keep Cesaro and Sheamus over.
Yep.
Should it be finished 1, 2, 3 in the middle of a cage? Yes. Tag matches in a cage are weird in general. Because it's
because it's like, where do you stand?
And usually, like, a long time ago, you would just have all four guys battle in the ring. But now they sort of try to make it like a tag match in a cage. There should be no rules in a cage. They should all be fighting. That's the thing. They should all be fighting.
The rules are there to stop Jeff Hardy from doing something stupid. We all know this.
But here's the thing. He's going to do something stupid. Because what he's going to do? He's going to do a swanton off the top of the cage.
Yeah.
Because the moment they said steel cage, that's what's happening. Because Jeff Hardy flies off of things because he's Brother Nero. Because
why the hell not?
Because why the hell not?
In the same respect, though, it's like you're having Sheamus and Cesaro pursue the titles again. You've got them doing this really strong heel gimmick. You don't really have anybody ready to challenge the Hardys after Sheamus and Cesaro are done. Because this is the blow-off. So... are there shenanigans in this? Do they both escape at the same time?
That would be dumb, but they could do that. Here's the thing. The fallback is the club. The club is looming. The club is going to be a thing. They will probably be the next challengers for the Hardys, I would assume, leading to then the revival and the Hardys.
The revival's not quite ready yet.
That's at SummerSlam. We got 2 months.
Dash has got to get those braces off his face.
It's June 1st. SummerSlam's end of August.
I know. I'm just putting it out there for the record.
And he's already beating up Enzo, maybe, supposedly. Who knows?
No, I heard that was somebody else.
Because you can't teach that? Because
he's 7 foot tall, and you definitely can't teach that.
Anyway, who you got in this match?
As much as I want to pick my boys, I'm going with the Hardys.
I'm going to keep my points. I'm taking the Hardys. Video Game says Cesaro and Sheamus, while the 8-ball picks the Broken Hardys. In the most extreme match of the night, Intercontinental Championships on the line. Dean Ambrose versus The Miz. In a match where if Dean Ambrose gets disqualified, he loses his belt.
I think we all know where this is going.
If this doesn't have him re-slap Miz in 5 seconds to get the belt, then they're stupid.
Yeah, I mean, if they actually do a full wrestling match, as opposed to Maurice slapping Miz, like the bell rings and Maurice just goes, and that's it?
Yeah, that should be it. The way to get around that is you keep Maurice, you ban Maurice.
But they're not going to do it unless they announce that, like, last minute that Maurice is banned.
They could. Kurt could ban her last minute.
But even still, it's like Miz could find another way to get Ambrose disqualified. Because that's, like, the ultimate setup for, oh, well, if Dean Ambrose gets disqualified, Miz still gets the title. Well, we all know how this is going to go then.
So, if you listen back to what the Drifter said on Monday. He owes the A-lister a favor.
He does.
Could the Drifter get involved?
And you do Dean versus the Drifter?
And you can have the Drifter attack Miz as the favor return, thus giving Dean loses, Miz gets the belt, then you do Dean and Drifter as a feud.
Which is kind of ironic in and of itself, but yeah.
That could be a thing.
That could be a thing.
Anyway, who you got?
I'm going Miz.
This hurts my fantasy. Excuse me. My fantasy team, I was going to go Dean Ambrose. Video game goes Ambrose, 8-ball goes Miz. Like, I can see every scenario where, like, I can see whatever DQ thing Miz has planned backfires on him.
I can see that, but at the same time, it's like, it's really, really, really obvious, and it's almost stupid that if you're going to say that, well, you know, if Ambrose gets disqualified, that's it, he loses the title, and you don't do it, you know?
Oh, I know. I know. That's sort of the problem in and of itself. It is what it is. That's the booking they're giving us. Now, at the top of the segment, I said there's one match the show is really built around, and it's this Fatal 5-Way Extreme Rules match for the number one contendership at Brock Lesnar's Universal Championship. The winner will get this shot at Great Balls of Fire. You have Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and yeah, a guy named Bray Wyatt.
So who wants to line up and get their butt kicked first?
40 minutes starts now.
Okay, I'm just going to say this, and everybody's going to be shocked about it. I don't want it to be Bray. I don't want Bray to win this match, even though it would probably be best for Bray to win this match first, because it's like he gets his crack at Brock, he gets destroyed by Brock, and then they have time to build him back up for whoever eventually takes the title off of Brock, Roman. That would tend to be my belief, but I'm not sure. But yeah, I don't want Bray to win simply because I don't want to see him die. I don't want to see Brock Lesnar throw him around for 20 minutes, you know? I just don't want that.
The most confident person building up into this matchup has been Bray Wyatt, where he's so confident he can beat, he can slay the beast. He's the only one, he believes, who can slay the beast.
Okay, well, think about it. All right, let's think about it. In the past 6 months or so, Bray Wyatt has defeated John Cena, AJ Styles, and Randy Orton. Just had the WWE Championship over on the SmackDown side to lose it to Orton at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is the master of beast in the sense that he controlled Rowan, Harper, and Strowman for, you know, Strowman was about a year, and then Harper and Rowan were for about 5. So, and God knows what the hell else Bray Wyatt's got growing down at the compound. So I can totally see where Bray Wyatt's confidence is coming from. He's like, you're nothing scary to me. I've dealt with people like you before. I can take you.
And here's the thing. Bray shouldn't win this matchup. Finn Balor should win this matchup. Now here's the twist. Bray Wyatt is the only man who believes he's the right person to slay the beast. Which means, if the program is Finn and Bray, in 4 weeks at Great Balls of Fire,
Bray Wyatt screws Finn Balor.
Bray Wyatt can screw Finn Balor because he knows Finn is not the one to slay the beast.
And he can break out his slut pants.
He could. And that's the thing in this matchup. When you break down the competitor, Roman Reigns is not winning this matchup.
Nope, not yet.
Me and Lindsay both agree Roman Reigns should win this matchup for one simple reason. To get Roman and Brock over with.
Yeah, I really hate the concept that they're going to wait till Mania on that. The fact that you're going to have Brock hold the title till essentially for a year and be absent for a good part of it. I'm not going to say most of it, but a good portion of the year. He's going to be gone. So now it's you have them chasing this invisible title that's not there, and while that's fine, the title doesn't necessarily need to be there. It's really, really stupid because it's, okay, so you're not going to do Roman and Brock. You're going to do Brock and everybody else first, which means any contender that you throw up against Brock until WrestleMania next year, which is when they're planning to do this, supposedly, is going to get destroyed. We all know this. So right now you have 5 guys in this match that could have a shot at Brock. You're going to destroy 4 of them for the sake of Roman. Which, if that's what you want, that's cool. But it's like, I'd rather see them get it out of the way with Roman, where it's like he beats the beast because he's the guy that did the thing with Taker. And it's like, while it's fresh in everybody's minds, you have Roman, like, just hulk up and take out Brock. And send Brock packing and take his title. Then you bring the other 4 guys in this match into play where it's like they can all feud with Roman at different times. That's why Roman really should go first, because it's like the plan is to put the title on him. But I get it. They don't want to do it at this pay-per-view. They don't want to do it at Great Balls of Fire. They want to do it probably at WrestleMania next year.
If we didn't know Roman Reigns' future, I would be okay with Brock holding a belt for a year. Because if we didn't know the future, any challenger has the ultimate chance of being the one to slay the beast. Since we know the future, it's hard to believe in anyone slaying the beast.
Yeah, because again, we all know what they're waiting for. They're waiting to do Roman and Brock.
And that's the future, and it hinders Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I mean, it's like coming out of WrestleMania this year, Brock was a good solution.
He was. And Roman beating Taker was a good solution. So you take the hot guy. He just slayed the Goldberg. He slayed the Undertaker. They should be battling. They should be in an all-out war, match after match after match, trying to find out who's the best. But we have to wait a year to find for the one match. I would have been okay if you waited 6 months and sort of had a feud building.
Right.
Well, we gotta wait a year, and by then, Roman will have lost a bunch of times, and he won't be hot. He's going to win the Rumble to fight Brock. So you're already ruining. You're ruining the Rumble. You're already forecasting what how everything's going. It hinders the brand. It hinders the belt, and it takes away from what will be an awesome match on Sunday.
Yeah, this should be really, 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 really good on Sunday, just given the names involved in this. Unless Bray Wyatt just decides to be a tramp again, which he could be. I mean, you know, honestly, it could happen, like it did on Raw.
It really could. But here's the thing, this match will be really good because, one, they're going to get at least 30 minutes. I would say it could be closer to 40 because, again, there's 6 matches on this show. It's one of those things, they'll tell a really good story. There'll be a lot of table breaks, a lot of weaponry, a lot of smoke, and mirrors, and everything in between. You get chances to see Finn Balor and Seth Rollins work. Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt versus Samoa Joe. So Joe versus Reigns. Joe versus Rollins again. Finn versus Roman again. Etc. Etc.
Yeah, because once this is out of the way, whoever's not getting Brock, at Great Balls of Fire, you can move them on to individual feuds on their own, or move them back into their individual feuds. Because the only way I can see it is if Strowman comes back, and he just takes out everybody and wins the match. Which may or may not be a thing.
Right.
As he's gone quiet-ish. Let's see. I want to check something real quick.
What are you checking?
Braun.
Are we talking about how he likes to eat Chipotle?
No, we're talking about how he likes to post stuff to his Instagram.
The last Instagram thing I heard that he posted was the fan-created image with him as Uncle Sam.
No, then it's his fuel economy on his truck.
The last important image on his Instagram was the Uncle Sam photo.
Yeah.
Braun will be back for SummerSlam. That's a given. The 6 months is not 6 months. We all know this.
No, it's not 6 months. Although, I can see them holding him out just a little bit longer.
They could. I doubt it, though.
I doubt it, but it's like, hey, you know, we're just going to delay this just a little bit just to, you know, for drama purposes. Because it's like now Braun is lingering in the background.
And he could make his return at Great Balls of Fire. Bray takes care of Finn and then Braun shows up right afterwards, and you have the stare down, and that starts the feud. It's a thing, it could happen. But again, circling back to this match, again, all the singles, all the opportunities you're gonna... What's weird, though, in a Fatal 5-Way, someone's always gonna be left without an opponent.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that it's 5 and not 6, you know?
Yeah, because they didn't have a 6th, because they had Ambrose and Miz paired off.
Yeah.
And, like, there was no one else on Raw you could stick in that position, because unless you had, like, Big Show or something, and they're not doing that.
No. Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
Because, again, the matches were supposed to be Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins, Bray versus Finn, and Roman versus Braun. So Braun's out, so they went, hey, there's 5. So someone's going to always be hurt on the outside, so they don't have an opponent.
Yeah, which might be a little bit better, because then you can have them all trade off rest spots.
And they will, and that's sort of how this will go. And, again, someone will go through a table, someone will take a chair shot, you know, things like that. Someone will get tossed over a barricade or speared through a barricade. You'll be fine. The early stuff will be interesting because, again, there are you have to figure out numbers.
Yeah.
That said, who you got?
Oh, God.
Because you've narrowed it down to 3 people.
All right, so Bray and Finn are doing a thing.
We've eliminated Roman.
We've eliminated Roman. You know what? Seth.
I'm going with Finn. 8-Ball in video games, Seth Rollins. But I'm going Finn. I'll be the outlaw and go Finn Balor. Break the mold on the show.
It's like whoever you want to be, like, monster, you know, huge at Mania, you need to go ahead and just get it out of the way right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you have enough time to build them up. Like, this is plenty of time to recover this loss and build them back up. To have them ready to go for Mania. Just saying. But that does it for Extreme Rules. I forget that we only have 6 matches. So when we come back, we're doing the NXT Rundown, SmackDown Throwdown, and Tweet of the Week. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
I've been the up and coming next big thing. I've been the photograph and I've been the lens. I've been the Satan, baby. I've been the sin.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Celebrating 5 years of the award-winning The Rack.
Again, I'm curious to know, what was the experience like for you to be able to go back and wrestle in Japan again?
That was great. I haven't done it in a long time. And, you know, just knowing the respect within the culture that professional wrestling has, knowing the importance of this trip for the company, for the Wrestle One company, I think we all went there with the mindset of putting our best foot forward and putting on a great show and hoping that would then, you know, lead to bigger and better things down the road as far as the relationship between, TNA and Japan goes.
Absolutely. And do you have a favorite memory of wrestling in Japan?
I got to be real honest. The first time over there is always special because it's, you know, for a lot of guys, it's something it's on their bucket list and something worth checking off. I got to be real honest. I was sitting in this ring on this last tour in the midst of this, this X Division title match. And as I looked over, I saw Kenta Kobashi and the Great Muta doing commentary on my match. And as someone who has immense respect for Japanese wrestling and those two individuals specifically, there was a moment there where I think that even maybe gave me a little extra incentive to go a little above and beyond and kick it into the next year. Just that off the top of my head is something that I'll remember from this trip specifically.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hardy, and you are listening to The Rock Radio Show. Please tune in every dance you can. I find it absolutely wonderful.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MVG1211. Also, shout out to the folks over at Gerwick.net. And if you're listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for joining us. If you get a quick sec, go check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com. They're awesome. So, if you're just joining us, you missed our Extreme Rules Pick'em, you missed the news, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
How many letters are they putting these words? Anyway, tweet away.
Nathan Hamill tweeted, "Happy 40th Star Wars, hashtag Star Wars 40th, hashtag Star Wars," and he put out a picture of the Enterprise from Star Trek. Mark Hamill replies, "We need to talk, son, hashtag franchise confusion." And William Shatner goes, "Let the boy talk. Welcome to Starfleet, Nathan." I love when crap like that happens. It's so awesome.
I know.
So anyway, moving on.
Boik? Okay.
Neville. "Morning, Cretans. I am awake." Neville again. "Once again, I have risen, fools." I love Neville's good morning tweets. They're awesome.
Are we sure the morning tweets are... Anyway, never mind. Just go.
Anna Kendrick. "Why is it every TV detective is also a fashion expert? Our witness is a plumber, but he's wearing Gucci shoes. Must have a sugar mama." With a gif of, "How do you know that?" Neville. "Morning world, you ugly deprived hellhole. Fear not, the king exists." Seamus. "Throwback Thursday to the time myself and Drew McIntyre won our WWE Survivor Series 2009 match, then celebrated with a random fan who jumped in the ring." And it's a picture of Seamus, Drew, and Miz. They're so nice. Kevin Owens. "Go back to Canada. A man from Tennessee. Gladly, but first, let me just save your country one SmackDown show at a time. Real quick." James C. EU, hashtag WWE2, tweeted, keep chatting, you better catch these hands." Kevin Owens replies, "I believe this is as appropriate a situation as ever for me to type LOLROTFLMFAO and put a bunch of crying, laughing smiley faces a bunch of times. Stay in school, please." It's more effective if you actually see the tweet.
I get you.
Becky Lynch. "Happy birthday, WWE Rollins. I hope you had an amazing day that sets you up for the best age yet."
Can I jump in?
Yes.
"Hate you."
That was my next tweet.
I know, that's one and two. "Hate you."
And Seth Rollins replies, "Hate you." And Becky replies with a smiley face and a heart. Ruby Hardy. "Last week, Maxwell's favorite number was 8. This week's it's 6. Which is just great, because now he's walking around going 666. And Trent Seven goes, "Oh, is it now?" Because he has an issue with the 6 seconds, you know, stuff. Anyway.
"Is it because he can only last..." Anyway, never mind.
That's the rumor!
"He can only last that amount." Okay. Am I allowed to go now?
Yes, you're allowed to go now. I'm done.
WWE Creative-ish. "It's called 205 Live to reflect the number of fans actually watching the show when it airs. Hashtag kayfabe."
Ouch.
Matt Barry. "Chip Kelly gets hired by us at ESPN. The time between stories might now go from 3 minutes to 45 seconds. Stories per show from 20 to 60. Hashtag pace." The intern tweeted, "The kittens of Kane. Thought you'd get a kick out of this. Also, he just put Herm Edwards and John Gruden up for trades to other networks." He would. Fake ESPN. "ESPN has hired Chip Kelly as an analyst. He looks forward to completely ruining the network in 2 to 3 seasons." Yep. Austin Aries talks about this match with the tag match happening on Raw. TJ Perkins. "According to my point system, I've beaten you 5 times." Aries replies, "Are you talking to me or your joystick?" WWE Creative Edge. "Zach Evans comes to us from every episode of WWE Superstar Circuit 1991. He's well preserved." So someone tweeted a picture of Trent Seven's death on Wikipedia. They go, "Did I miss something?" Trent Seven goes, "I had a good run, I suppose." So freaking how I pronounce it. It was Kofifi or Kofi? Kofif? Kofif? I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I think Kofif.
Kofif. Sami Zayn, "I had a great time tonight facing two very talented Kofif. Devon, get the Kofif," says Bubba Ray Dudley. Jimmy Kimmel, "What makes me saddest is that I'll know I'll never write anything funnier than Kofif." Mike Drucker, "This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but a Kofif," says T.S. Eliot. Kofi Kingston, "Damn it. Now everyone is calling me Kofif Kingston. How could you do this to me? Hashtag Kofif." Wilmington Police. "Which happens first? People discover the use of turn signals or people discovering the meaning of Kofif?" Danny Bland. "We've all had a lot of fun with Kofif, but think about the Department of Defense folks who had to stay up all night changing the nuclear codes away from Kofif."
Yup.
Drew McIntyre just spent legit 10 minutes scrolling Luke Harper's Twitter. 10 minutes well spent, laughing my head off.
I feel like Harper's Twitter is like this giant inside joke in that company.
Pretty much. Tommy Dreamer. Australia House of Hardcore Tour. No politics, no BS, just wrestling. Ticket info, houseofhardcore.net. A lot of dives, super kicks, and Kofif. Road Dogg replied, no headlocks, I'm out. And breaking news from Andy Young. Film. Breaking news, Trump shutting down Netflix to help bring back blockbuster jobs. Tweet of the week.
So, SmackDown Rundown?
Do it correctly.
Throwdown?
Said it correctly.
SmackDown Throwdown?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So I was looking for you in the crowd. I was in Atlanta, home of the AJ Styles and the Falcons, and I didn't see you.
Nope, didn't go.
Because you weren't guaranteed things. Like,
hey, you know, you put Luke Harper and his four chickens and two dogs and five cats on SmackDown, and you put Eric Rowan with his 15 masks on SmackDown, I might go. But it was like, there was no Bray Wyatt, there was pretty much nobody that I go to see wrestling for was on that show.
Okay, so we're going to start with this, and I'm going to play the sound. You're all going to hear the sound, and we're going to discuss it, because it deserves to be talked about here. Listen to the thing. Prior to SmackDown Live, Luke Harper defeated English in a six-man tag. Afterwards, this is out of character.
Actually, next week, we're in Rochester, New York, and cameraman, if you'd like to come by my house and meet my beautiful wife, my wonderful five-year-old, my four chickens and two dogs and five cats.
You know, a great poet once said that true nobility is exempt from fear. I want you to remember those words.
It's a little strange. The quote actually sounded a bit like Shakespeare.
All I needed was Luke Harper twirling his own mustache after he said Shakespeare.
Normal Luke Harper is everything. I need it on my TV so bad. Oh my god. Like, I've been waiting for him to be just his, like, usual normal self, because it's like, this is the Luke Harper that's in interviews, and it's amazing. Like, it's, at least to me, it's amazing. I love what he's doing. I love when he's just kind of his weird, wacky self. And he's not the, I'm going to murder you, Luke Harper. Although the, I'm gonna murder you, Luke Harper does have merits. I like this Luke Harper much better.
We're showing some growth in character and character development. And that's what you need. We've seen it with Eric Rowan. You need it from Luke Harper. It will only help him going forward.
He's throwing off the Whitey yoke and becoming himself again.
So, that happened, and maybe we'll get Luke Harper versus Aiden English on SmackDown coming up in Rochester, New York. Now, back to SmackDown in Atlanta. The Kevin Owens highlight reel. Because he's taking it over from Chris Jericho.
Like you do.
Head of guests, Shinsuke Nakamura. Those two do not like each other. Baron Corbin does not like, sort of doesn't like Shinsuke or kind of Kevin. And that
Baron Corbin doesn't like anybody.
Sammy doesn't like Kevin, nor does he like Baron. And that ended up in a tag match, which was really good. We saw the return of the New Day.
Hey, points! Because of course they come back in Atlanta. Of course they do. Xavier ain't flying anywhere. Not for like one day.
I think his mom was in the front row.
Probably.
He made mention. He said, nice t-shirt, mom. And I was like, I figured she's in the front row.
His mom, his wife, all his cousins, you know.
I don't think the wife was there. Because she, you know, she is like a really young baby.
You can find a sitter.
Maybe. But anyway. So New Day and the Usos are a pairing now. We've seen it. The match will be good. I really enjoyed the New Day on SmackDown. They felt like stars on SmackDown.
They felt fresh.
They felt very, very fresh on SmackDown because they've been so stale on Raw after losing the belts. And even with the belts, they felt so stale. So it was good to get them off TV for 6-7 weeks. And now they feel fresh again. And that's key when you have someone who's dominated for so long. They lose once, and you have to go from there. So it's like they were fresh. they felt they added star power to SmackDown Live, which was really good.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But yeah, it's nice to see them back. And what's funny about this was the Usos basically make this, you know, very dark, ominous threat. And New Day's like, whoa, wait a minute, whoa, hold on here, dude. We came to challenge you to, you know, a wrestling match. That's a little much.
They were going old Yeller on the New Day.
Yeah, they were going to take him out back and go old Yeller on him. And that's the point where they were like, wait a minute there, Sparky.
Oh, we may have a winner coming up in the spelling bee.
Oh.
If she can get her word correctly. Because someone screwed up a word and forgot an R. Can't pronounce her name, though.
Oh, dear.
And I don't know the name. Anyway, continuing on SmackDown. I thought the promo exchange between the two sides were really good. The main event was AJ Styles versus Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler beat AJ Styles in his hometown. That was the thing.
I hear everybody complaining about this, but honestly, it's like this happens a lot where you have, you know, whoever's in their hometown job out. That's kind of how they do things in WWE. Very, very, very rarely do they let people win in their hometown. And plus, it's a SmackDown. I think AJ's going to be fine.
I think he'll be fine, but it's like, it's Dolph.
But here's the thing. They're trying to rebuild Dolph.
How many times have they tried to rebuild Dolph in the last year? How many times has it worked?
None, but they're going to try one more time.
We had more.
And they're going to keep trying until either Dolph leaves or his contract runs out.
We had more Fashion Police stuff, which wasn't as good this week, but it had a different feel. But we're getting more Breeze in the dress and Breeze as a janitor and that sort of thing. It's entertaining.
It's entertaining. I mean, it was. You had a more, like, gumshoe 1930s, 1940s feel to it, as opposed to the Fashion Police that we have been getting, but it was still cute.
Marocaine was the winning word. Marocaine. Anyway, that's what happens when I turn off a basketball game. Then we had the best thing that happened on the show. The Fatal 5-Way Elimination Match never started, and it became this intense, wild brawl with five women. You want to talk about a fight? This was a fight.
And you know, Shane McMahon's, he's sitting backstage, he's watching all this, and he's like, alright, I'm gonna do something about this. So he walks out there, and you know, instead of admonishing them for their fight, oh no, what does he do? He gives them ladders to play with in a few weeks.
Because officially, there is no challenger for Naomi. Instead, we have a five-woman Money in the Bank ladder match.
First ever.
First ever women's Money in the Bank match.
Let me just tell you how excited I am for this.
Please tell me how excited you are.
Because I have waited years.
Years?
Years for this. Where it's always asking that question, well, why can't the women have a Money in the Bank ladder match? Why can't they do it? You know, why shouldn't... Because it's like, I never understood why they always did two on Money in the Bank previously. You know, after they sort of merged the shows back together. And it's like, when they still had the two titles, but they merged the show back together kind of thing. So it was like, well, why can't the women have one? Why do the men have to have two? Why can't you just, you know, have a Money in the Bank winner? Because eventually you're going to reunite the heavyweight championship, so that'll go down to one, and have a female holder for the other, or for the women's title.
But now, we have the time, we have the place, and you know, in Charlotte's mind right now, she's going to climb that ladder, she's going to do a moonsault.
Please don't, honey. Please don't.
But you know she is. She's going to do it, she's going to do it, she's going to do it. We'll preview that in a few weeks. But yeah, that was cool. We got Natty put through a table, which was cool. I thought the entire brawl was really, really good. And it's like all five women were down. Shane comes out like a proud papa and goes, I'm giving you a ladder now and a contract. Enjoy.
Yeah, it's like, I'm gonna harness this. Y'all can settle this amongst yourselves. I'm gonna take care of this my way. Here, have ladders
and a contract. And go. So that'd be cool to see.
Yeah, this is exciting. This is going to be hopefully amazing. I cannot wait to see this. And everybody who's like, women are too fragile to do this, just sit down. Just, we can push a human being out of our bodies. We got this, okay? Just hold our beer. We'll be fine.
That was SmackDown in a nutshell.
All right, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
I say we run down the matches and then talk about Tommaso.
Okay.
Pete Dunne beat Danny Burch. Solid match.
Very solid match.
Andrade Cien Almas lost to Cesar Bonani.
Upset. So everybody was really, really shocked. And then Andrade went to party.
Bobby Roode was not ready for a celebration. They need more preparation time.
Like a good heel does.
There's dark. There's darkness. There's smoke. And there's a voice talking about pain.
For a second, I thought it was Aleister Black.
It was just a vignette about Authors of Pain.
I got really excited because I saw the darkness and the smoke and, like, all the mystical elements. I was like, ooh, is it for Alistair? And then it was for the Authors of Pain. And I was like, damn it.
Roderick Strong and Cassius Ohno beat Eric Young and Alexander Wolf in a really good match. We saw the return of No Way. Jose. No Way. Jose.
Where's he been?
He got injured.
Did he?
Remember, Sanity attacked him right before the big takeover match. So he's been out injured.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now I remember.
So they had the footage of Hideo Itami reacting to his loss to Bobby Roode in the locker room. And Hideo was mad. They bleeped out things that he was probably saying in Japanese and cursing.
I was going to say, it's like he's cursing up a blue streak, you can tell. But the question is he doing it in English or is he doing it in Japanese?
I said both.
Both is fair.
Him and Cassius got into it.
A bit, but they seem to work it out. For now.
So what was really cool, okay? Peyton Royce and Billy Kay are doing their iconic thing in the Performance Center, right?
Right.
They're all excited. They're doing, you know, they're trying to find someone to harass or whatever. And then Ember Moon walks by and they're trash talking her, right? And then the trainer walks by and tells Ember, just need you to sign this. It's her papers to be cleared. And the look on the faces of Billy Kay and Peyton Royce went from smiles to, oh crap.
We gonna die.
We're gonna die now. She's been cleared. Oh no. We're doomed.
This was so well done.
Very creative. Very well done. But then the show started with Tommaso Ciampa.
The man of the moment.
Tell him what happened.
Okay, so Tommaso limps his way out with his crutches. He gets in the ring. And I'm paraphrasing the hell out of this promo because this was an excellent, excellent promo by Ciampa. If you get a chance, go watch it. It's well worth it. As is the rest of the show, but the promo really, really, really makes the show. Because you have Tommaso go out basically saying he didn't want to do it, but we left him with no choice. He got hurt right before TakeOver with a minor injury, and everybody was suddenly replacing him. And Tommaso was like, you know what? F that. I'm just going to replace myself. And so he took out Gargano.
Weren't you trying to replace him?
Weren't you?
No! I was not throwing out people. You were throwing out Aleister Black.
No, you threw out... Oh, crap. Who did you throw out?
I didn't throw out anyone.
Yes, you did. Because we had a whole conversation on the show about it.
I don't think I said anyone specific. I think I was reading Twitter.
You were probably reading Twitter, but you were agreeing.
Cannot confirm nor deny this.
Sense. Somebody go back in our archives and confirm this.
Just pointing out Lindsay was trying to... This is Lindsay's fault. Tommaso beating up Johnny is Lindsay's fault.
But Tommaso beat up Johnny because he got hurt and he didn't want to be replaced. So technically, it's Brent's fault.
Because he does it to himself. Anyway.
Because he does it to himself. Anyway. So it's like the reasoning was slightly less heartbreaking than what you would think it was. It's not the, I never liked Johnny Gargano because they really can't get away with that. Because they all live together. How do you live with someone you absolutely 100% hate? You really kind of can't without them finding out.
Right. So Ciampa said he's nobody's afterthought, which is why he did what he did. He got injured in the match, the ACL injury. We've documented that earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started going off about things and, like, fans started chanting afterthought at him. What else happened with him? Because I'm trying to remember it all. It's sort of slowly coming back.
It's slowly coming back. I mean... From what I remember, that's pretty much it. That basically his sole reasoning for all of it was that he got minorly hurt and suddenly everybody was looking to replace him. And so, you know, he's basically laying there in the ring with Gargano and it was supposed to be their moment and it wasn't their moment. They had lost. And so Tommaso's like, well, screw it. If I'm going to get replaced either way, I'm going to make it my moment.
Right. And so, now I remember he was like, you can't replace me. You can't replace Johnny. But we can replace you, the fans. He blamed the people for this, which was the perfect way to do it. It's like, again, Johnny did nothing wrong. It was the people, and the people, I guess, in a way, reinvigorated the psycho killer, which was a previous persona of his.
In a way. I mean, I would be curious to see if he brings that to NXT, but it's more when Gargano comes back. Gargano's going to be like, what the crap, dude?
So, now we have no Ciampa. So his decision was, well, you get no Gargano either. It's just that simple.
Candace is still coming for your soul. She's still going to take you out there, Tommaso. I would run.
And he promised that he's going to go out, get healed, improve, and come back as the baddest son of a bitch in NXT.
That's a bold claim. But I have a funny feeling Johnny Gargano is going to be waiting for him when he gets back.
He could back that up. I think he legitimately could, you know, back him up on that one, which is good, which is smart. I thought this promo was excellent. I thought they did a fantastic job building up Ciampa. But the problem is that injury, that poor, poor injury. Such bad timing.
Yeah, an ACL tear right then. It's like, oh, that sucks. That really, really sucks. Like, it plays into the story perfectly, but at the same time, it's like, oh, man.
If it's a really bad tear, it's 6 to 8 months, which is really, really bad. And it's like, it came at the worst possible time. It just sucks. That's the best way to put it. It sucks. It really, really sucks.
Yeah, it does. It's very unfortunate for Tommaso, but this was a great, great promo by him. Loved the hell out of this. It was strong. It was exactly what it needed to be. He didn't blame Johnny. He didn't blame himself. He blamed the fans, which that's always hard to pull off when you do that.
But there's you know, proof it is their fault because we were trying to replace them.
Yep, we were.
Because, again, they're basing it off of social media. It's like, yep, that's a thing. And you can see why he was very evident. You know, they really want him to work this match because of the stuff they had planned, so it really, really worked. But that was NXT.
That was NXT, so I liked how they told the story and they're moving forward. But that takes us to next week. And, well, what happens next week? More of the Rack, where we're going to have our Extreme Rules Fallout, plus news notes, NXT SmackDown, and so much more. It's the Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, but you got other plugs.
Plus, we will have an announcement regarding the 5-year show next week.
Yes, we will.
Because that's coming on June 29th. Only a few weeks away. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight, is at CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Say what? The great debate. We're doing action movies. The intern is creating a list. Hopefully checking it twice. See what happens. CB Radio live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag Blame Rob. When a Celebrity Dies, Wrestle Talk Radio will be on the air at 11 p.m. Eastern, right after Extreme Rules, to recap it all at WTR Sunday on the Facebook and Twitter. Go back and listen to the interview with Son of Havoc from this past Sunday night. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, is a WTR Sims, Intern's Revenge, and in some controversy, a couple controversial moments, including Lindsay losing her belt with her hand all clearly on the rope. And the intern almost beating Tim, having him down for the 1, 2, 3. Could have been. But he ran out of time.
Oh.
He made an Iron Man match. Falls with 1-1. He gets Tim down. And the time runs out.
So shouldn't it have gone to sudden death?
No. Just a time limit draw. That's how the things go. Anyways, WTR Sims, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. The archive available now at youtube.com/RackRadioShow, where you can find the Sims from WWE Extreme Rules. They'll be posted throughout the day tomorrow at youtube.com/RackRadioShow. We'll be back next Thursday night again for the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, twitter.com, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and again, youtube.com/RackRadioShow. I'm at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LNSWRD. Go to my website, SegWordDesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our amazing, awesome sponsors, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211. GoWork.net and FightBooth.com. So for Rock, I've been Lindsay Ward. I'm Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.